All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hope y'all had a good Christmas.
We did.
Yes.
And we're blessed.
Yes.
So I'm just filling in for Brother Wade again. And this morning I want to talk about, just run through some quotes about that might be helpful. We'll see what the topic is in a second. But let's read a few quotes first. This quote in the Feast of the Trumpets is talking about how in the hour that we're living in, Brother Brown's saying that the ecclesiasticals of the spirits uniting together and bringing them all as one big slaughter to blot out. And you can see this year in 2020, they're having this big Alpha conference where all of the Muslims and the Buddhists and everything are getting together. Things are moving together where the World Council of Churches is kind of forming up to unite everything. And you can see that evil spirits are moving. The devil's trying to attack things in the bride. He tries to attack, come against things. And so we need to have something to withstand everything that the devil throws against us. So that's what kind of Brother Brown is talking about here. He says, now you see what the beast is, don't you? It's a power. And a power, ecclesiastical power. Jesus said it'd be so close like the real thing. It deceived the very elected if it was possible. But he promised to have something here for us in that day. That we wouldn't be deceived. And that's the word. And Christ to make Amen. It manifest to us. In other words, it's getting so close down to here at the end where it's a honing down time. And that's why, you know, people are falling away. People are deceived. It seems like... I mean, honestly, if you look at the things that people are saying around the message and doing and all that kind of stuff, it can be very disheartening almost. But because it's a time where people are so confused and people are wondering who they should believe and what church they should go to and what's right and what's wrong. They don't know what's up and what's down. It's a very deceiving time. But God has given us the thing to combat the deception of this hour. He's given us the word.
Bob, excuse me. When you said it would be so close... Is that within the message? Is that what it means?
See, within the message, you got the three kinds of believers. There's just the hangers on. There's the true believer, the make believer, and the unbeliever. So we were actually listening to the anointed ones on the way to church this morning, and then that Brother Brown talked about how the genuine Holy Ghost can be on someone's spirit, but down the inside in their soul, they can be a false teacher. So that makes them, they're a Christ, they are an anointed one, but it makes them a false Christ because they in their soul, they're incorrect. And so that's what's deceiving.
So if there's a person like you just described, could they be teaching the truth and then fall away? Are they teaching false doctrine?
Right. Somewhere in there, it's not going to be bringing forth the correct teaching of how to be born again, the correct teaching that falls under their age of how, especially in this day, that's what I'm going to get to. The message of the hour is more than just being born again. And so false teachers in this day will not be able to teach that. So the way that you tell the true and the false in this hour is by the word, by comparing the teaching that's coming forth with the teaching of that age to see if it's correct. So let me kind of that's really what I want to talk this morning about, what the message of the hour is. That's what my topic is, the message of the hour, and what because I feel like so many people are have a misunderstanding of what really the message of the hour is. The message of the hour is not just do's and don'ts, and you see so many come in and they get attracted to the signs and wonders and all of those kind of things, and Brother Brown be able to discern things and the healing line and all of that, and kind of get around kind of just the influence of the message, but never really understand what the message of the hour is about. And so let me keep reading through these quotes before I kind of go down that route. So Brother Brown said he was talking about in the Feast of the Trumpets about how that under the sixth seal or the sixth trumpet, well the trumpets are under the sixth seal, So under this, when the sixth trumpet opened, it, out of the bottomless pit came these 200 million demons that attacked the Jews under Hitler, Eichmann, and Stalin, and drove them to the promised land. And he began to compare that to how the devil's coming against the bride also. And now in this hour, the Roman system had been held captive at the river Euphrates by preventing them from crossing over to the promises of God, because they had all their traditions and things that bound them at that river. And the same way the bride had been kind of bound down through seven church ages at by the dogmas and things that prevented them from taking a body change and all those kind of things. But now here at the culmination of things, everything's been unleashed. And you see these two systems coming against one another. So he's saying that church has bound the Holy Ghost for 2,000 years under martyrdom back there under the church ages. It's been bound not at the river of Euphrates, but at the door of creeds and dogmas. That the Holy Spirit can't work in the church because of man-made systems. But she is going to be liberated. She's coming back. That's what the Bible said. So that's what the message of the hour is for. To liberate you, to come back to the truth that will set you free. And we'll talk about that in a second. And those two meet together on the battlegrounds again. Lucifer and Michael again, like in the beginning. They've been bound for 2,000 years almost. Almost 2,000 years. So if you're going to fight in a battle, you got to have something. You got to be equipped to fight that battle. And the equipment that God has given us in this age is the message of the hour, which is this capstone message. The capstone message to equip you to withstand when the devil comes and says, well, the message is false and all this kind of stuff. Then you've got the equipment to withstand against that. Because the devil knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and she can do the greater work, she will be an invincible army. That's a quote we're all very familiar with. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before them. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Revelation is what gives us power over the devil. I feel like, you know, over the years, people have kind of hunted and probed to try to to almost force an understanding of the two spirits within the framework of the church. But it'll reveal itself in its time. And as you grow in grace, you begin to understand, just from talking to people, what really is driving them and whether or not they're confused and all those kind of things. So the message of the hour is what I'm talking about, because that will give us power over the devil, power in this day. And will liberate us and loose us and allow us to take a body change. But what I kind of want to start off talking about is you need to have revelation. Revelation is what will give you the equipment to combat the things that the devil throws at you. In Matthew chapter 16. Jesus told Peter, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what the devil throws, all the powers of darkness, no matter what the devil throws at you, if you've got a real revelation, you're not going to fall away. You're not going to slide away. You cannot. And he said, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loosed, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, if God gave Peter the keys, and Peter preached the keys on the day of Pentecost, then now you have the keys also. And if you have the keys, which Amen. Is a revelation of the Word, then that will loose you from being bound by the things of this world. It will give you overcoming power. In Matthew chapter 7, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended. I love these real simple parables, because Jesus is saying, if you get your foundation straight, if you build your house upon a rock, and that rock is Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, when the winds come and blow against you and beat against you, all the false doctrine, all the different things that people say, If you've got a foundation and you're built up on the Word, the devil cannot sway you off of that rock. No matter what comes, you are you are convinced that the message that you've heard is true. You're convinced that Jesus is your salvation. When it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Let me skip over it. I'm looking at that clock like it's going to tell me what time it is, but that clock ain't even working. All right. So each age had a message, and I think that's one thing that we, you know, maybe forget sometimes, is that this age is not the only age that had a message. Each age had a message that called the people out of their denominational system to and opened up a door so that they could rise up higher and escape the false doctrine of their age. Brother Brown said, "And what should I do with Jesus called Christ?" He said, "He caused all physical death by trying to inject some heresy of Satan into the Word, and that's the same thing that happened to the church at Nicaea, Rome, by taking dogmas instead of the Word. That's the same thing in the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. As the light springs forth in each age, and they turn it down. That's the reason the Lutheran died when Wesley rose up. It was in another age. The Word come forth, and they had to accept it or die. That's the reason that the Pentecostals are dying now, because the age is here. So every age, at the end of the age, a messenger would come on the scene to open a door, and certain ones would receive that message, and then if you rejected it, down you go. You denominated, which pretty much means you rejected the message for your day, and from that can no more come any life. That's where that big argument came. Can you be born again if you're in a denomination? Everybody wants to argue over that. And see, you know, you've got ones that there's lapovers and things, because it's like F.F. Bosworth was in a denomination. I don't know if he ever saw that Brother Brown was actually a prophet of God, but I believe he was born again. And you got lapovers and things like that. But as time goes on, the light in the denomination, as they reject the message, the light begins to fade out. Until Brother Evan said in the seventh church age, he said, "I left a little light," because it looked like it was so dark, it was completely blacked out, and the only light that was left was in the bride. In other words, in the message of the hour.
Yes.
So we're not trying to be critical and point fingers, "I don't think you're born again," or whatever. But eventually, it will get so black that all throughout all the denominational system, they'll form together in this World Council of Churches, and there won't be any light left except for in the little bride. That's where the light is.
Right.
And all of these messages, the message for each age called people out of that system that they were in as individuals, not as a group, but each individual had to receive it for themselves and were called out to the message of their age. As God brought the church higher and higher and higher by revelation. And he said, "And why are we not a denomination? I believe that God has dealt in each age." But did you ever notice that every time a church ever fails, and as soon as they denominate, they start failing right then. And whenever they fail, God never raises that church again. It goes right straight to seed. If you want to know the history on that, we can produce that no church, not ever in the history of churches, has any denomination ever fail that rose again. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Luther, and whatever it may be, when they fail, they are gone. God deals with individuals and not with denomination, and he keeps talking about that. And you see, because as you're going up, this is what I was talking about, the porter is the messenger for that age that preaches a message that opens the door for them to come out of that age, to come out of the teaching of that age. And Brother Ram said that here's what happened. If you know the Oriental custom, when a bridegroom gives out invitations for his wedding, he just gives out so many invitations, and for every invitation he sent, he had a porter standing at the door to put a robe on it. Mm-hmm. So they robed the people that were coming through that door, they robed them with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because they believed the message for that age. So let me ask you this question. How were believers in each age born again? How are they born again? Now it really, really becomes confusing for a lot of people when you look at Luther and Wesley and then Pentecost, because we get in our minds that, well, these people, Paul was born again by justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the three stages. But you can get in your mind, well, because Luther preached justification, that he didn't see sanctification or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My contention this morning is that everybody throughout all seven church ages came through those three stages: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they heard the message for their age, they believed to justification, the unclean spirit went out, and then God quickened the word that they heard for their age. They had to go through, everybody had to go through three stages. Whether it was Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, the restoration of the gifts at Azusa Street, and then eight, the capstone message. You got to get those numbers right, because everything falls into this right pattern. That's why Brother Dale's been hammering on it for so many years, that the messenger comes at the end of the age. Mm-hmm. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Azusa Street, and then at the end of that age, Azusa Street, the Pentecostal restoration of the gifts, Brother Branham preached his message, which is what there's so much confusion about. What was the message of the hour? The message of the hour is not, you must be born again. This is the message of the hour. The message of the hour is what Brother Ram preached, to give our body change, to give us faith to take a body change. And so everybody gets caught up in the clothes and the hair and the dress and all those kind of things, which is something that was restored as part of the preaching of the message, the true understanding of those kind of things, but it's part of it, that you must be born again. But the message goes beyond, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. So down through the seven church ages, what got eaten down? Was it, because we look at Luther and Wesley and the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street, and so we know that all of those people were born again by going through those three stages of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They knew how to be born again. So what got eaten down and what had to be restored? In Joel, it talks about the floors shall be full of weed and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palm worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And Brother Brown preached all of those sermons about how the bride tree will be restored. The bride tree is this tree. And what was restored, remember Brother Brown taught about that on the day of Pentecost, that the word that the apostles had heard for 3.5 years was quickened, and boom, they shot up to brotherly kindness, all the way to the top. Not the capstone, because the capstone was rejected. If they had received the capstone, then they would have taken a body change. But they got all these virtues, and they had all these virtues, but down through the seven church ages, Roman dogma and all of those kind of things crept in, and that word that they heard, the revelation of all these things, was eaten down until it got just down to the root. But the root was still there. The root was, if they had eaten away the root, which they could not have done, but then how would the life have come back? But you know, even in the yard, if you cut a tree down, if the root's still there, you got to watch it, because it's going to spring back up, which is exactly what happened in this situation. And the Bible says in Joel, I will restore. And what brings the restoration back was the prophet's message to restore us back to the original teaching that was lost down through the seven church ages. What was that original teaching? Well, first of all, that you need to grow up to stature of the perfect man. Now, a lot of people are the Baptist or whatever kind of probe at adoption and kind of stuff like that, but they kind of probe at it, but nobody could put it together like Brother Branham did, because he restored everything that was lost, the understanding of the Godhead, true understanding of baptism, all of these kind of things, to get us prepped, to get us ready for his message, which was preached in 1963. And beyond. Let me kind of skip to this. And I want to kind of touch on this too, because the fivefold ministry in every age preached the message that their messenger preached. In every age, their mandate was to preach what their messenger preached. Amen. So the true fivefold ministry in this age will be preaching this right here. And I think sometimes some, the fivefold ministry, not to critique or nothing, but the fivefold ministry is not called just to preach a watered-down message for another age.
That's right.
That we just need to be born again, or almost preaching like a Dr. Phil or a Dr. Dobson type message, that we need to get our family straightened up, and we need to love one another and those kind of things, which all that is needful and all that's good. But the true fivefold ministry will be preaching the message that Brother Brown preached, which is all of this. And by all of this, I mean everything that was revealed in the seven seals, everything after that, who is this Melchizedek, Christ the mystery of God revealed, all of those kind of things that opens up the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the bride's book, and that book can never be understood in its entirety, down through the seven church ages, until this message came. You could open it up and I don't believe that even maybe in the early church that Paul had no understanding of what the seven lampstands were, the seven spirits before God, the white robed judge coming down, all of those kind of things, had no understanding, and they could just probe at it until this day. Brother Brown said God sent Luther with the word. The Lutherans spoke for God at that time, but they organized, and again, the pure word was lost, for organization tends toward dogma and creeds and not simple word. They could no longer speak for God. Then God sent Wesley, and he was the voice with the word in his day. The people who took his revelation from God became the living epistles, read and known of men for all men for their generation. When the Methodists failed, God raised up others, and so it has gone on through the years, until in this last day, there is again another people in the land under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age, because they're preaching the same thing. Now, I'm just kind of going to skim through some of these things. We know that Elijah will do two things. He'll turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, reveal, restore all these things, and then reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders, which is his message. Your message will forerun the second coming of Christ, was what Brother Brown was told. So you got, I'm just going to skim through these. These are all patterns that we're familiar with, that Elijah, John the Baptist, was forerunning Christ, which is the full revelation of God. And just in this day, Brother Brown was to forerun the second coming, which is, he's not coming in person, but he's coming in his bride, to fulfill, to bring the fullness of God manifest in us. Oh, goodness. I got too much information. Now, y'all getting tired? Y'all all right?
We just
got a few more minutes, and then we'll go upstairs. The year of Jubilee that Brother Dale and different ones always bring out is so important to understand what the message is. It seems a little bit deep, and you kind of, you know, when you start talking about numbers and everything, I know people's eyes get a little droopy, but in Leviticus 25:8, it says, I'm just going to talk about this and maybe close, "Thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye to make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." In other words, at the end of every 7 years, they had a little Shemitah where you could, part of the thing is going to go free. Just like at the end of every church ages, the trumpet would sound, and the people in that age could go free, but not completely. In other words, they couldn't go free with a body change. And that's what this, after 49 years, the trumpet sounds that you can go completely free. So that in the 50th year, you have complete deliverance. And that's why the year of Jubilee is so important to message believers. Understanding this, understanding what the message is. Because when the children of Israel got in the Promised Land, which was maybe around this time frame, just an estimate, they every 49 years the Jubilee trumpet should have been blown. Maybe I don't think they really ever did that, and then they could go free. So you can kind of see. Now, it blows in the seventh month of the 49th year, which is important for understanding how this pattern fits in together. 7 and 8, which even on the day of Pentecost, the eighth day was also the 50th. That's why it's called Pentecost. So the whole thing started out on an eighth day, on the day of Pentecost, and because it was on Sunday, the eighth day, and on the 50th, which was the 50th day after the resurrection. Well, it all finishes up also. After 49 years, 7 times 7, 7 times 7 is 49. Brother Brown preached a message in the 49 to give us complete deliverance so that we could go into the 50. Leviticus 25 begins with the 8th year. God calls a jubilee every 49th year. The 50th year was the jubilee. We know that. We understand that. From the first jubilee of Leviticus 25:8, in 1977 will be the 70th jubilee, making exactly 3,430 years. Jubilee means the going up, the release. So what is the year of release? Everybody can go free regardless of what you have done. When you hear the message that Brother Brown preached in the 49th year, it gives the release to not just your soul. Down through the seven church ages, every Shemitah, they had a release of their soul to believe the message for their age, but a complete deliverance of your soul, your spirit, and your body, regardless of what you've done. That's why Brother Ram preached marriage and divorce. If you can believe the grace of marriage and divorce that God has given to you, all of the things that you've done in your body will be covered over by the grace that God has given. That's why it's so important to get a revelation of all these things in the capstone, because the capstone message was a jubilee message to give us faith that all that stuff that's holding us down, thinking that we're not good enough and all that, which we're not, but God has given us grace to take a body change.
Amen.
Full redemption of soul, spirit, and body. Because Hebrews 4:12 says that it lays out that there's three different parts of you, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let me just kind of skim through some of these things. I'm not going to get through this. I was going to
do it another time.
Part two to come.
Part two to go.
We can
skip a song.
I don't want to get into this, or we'll really get everybody confused. So let's just stop right there, and then we'll go on upstairs.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.